China has received the bulk of the attention so far at BRICS for its loans to South Africa, and President Xi has certainly grabbed a lot of the headline space and the newspaper column centimeter space. But John Helmer, our Russia correspondent, has picked up some interesting info on Russian nuclear ambitions in South Africa, which never seem to die, it seems. Evening, John. It's an important question to ask now that Putin has landed. What is Russia's role in this particular BRICS summit?
Look, we're in a very important moment for the BRICS. For the first time since Zuma's removal, the BRICS leadership stands firmer on its own political feet than almost anyone in the rest of the world, in the civilized so-called leadership world, certainly more stable than the G7. Second, China, the United States has declared trade war on China, which has international reverberations for everybody. And thirdly, the United States has declared all sorts of war, information war, military war on Russia. So three of the major BRICS countries find themselves in a situation where all five can unify and show a united front, common sense, for reasonableness, for peace, and for all the things that the rest of the world badly needs. So it's a major moment. Second, Russia has to mend its policies in Africa. The Putin administration has backed the wrong corrupt horse in Africa for years now. It backed Zuma in order to promote a $50 billion nuclear reactor deal, as you all know. It backs Alpha Conde in Guinea to support the ambitions of the Russian aluminium company. It's backed Mugabe in Zimbabwe to advance a platinum deal. It has backed Sassoon Nguesso in Congo to advance arms sales. These are the wrong horses. These are the complete reverse of what Russian policy used to be in Africa. And it ought to change. And for the first time in many years, South Africa has a president, Mr. Ramaphosa, who can explain that to Mr. Putin, who's a good listener.
That Russian approach that you describe is entirely through Russian business interests, which, as we know, have a reputation for being corrupt. So it's unsurprising that those were the outcomes. Are you saying there should be a far more political approach to the foreign relations?
Yes, there should. And there will be because of the American NATO warfare situation. Russia now must look to calculating its interests and pursuing its interests and designing its alliances and friendships and making the trade necessary to protect itself and its allies from US and EU sanctions, which are basically a respectable sounding name for economic warfare. Let's not be too dramatic. Russian business is not more corrupt than Chinese, French, or others. What I did say was that Russian policy in Africa should not be dictated by Russian oligarchs, whether they're sanctioned by the United States or not.
Mm. Now, what have you picked up on the nuclear ambitions, which certainly caused a big ruckus under the Zuma administration? And I think many had suspected had faded away, particularly under Ramaphosa, who has a big focus in his new deal on renewable energy, but also because of that that high court ruling in the Western Cape that basically said the agreements or the cooperation commitments that had been signed were invalid. But you've picked up something quite interesting.
It was interesting, but little. Yesterday, before President Putin left for Joburg, his foreign affairs advisor, Yuri Ushakov, was asked about the BRICS agenda, and he mentioned that Russia still wants to sell nuclear reactors to South Africa. This was a highly unusual thing to say because the Western Cape judgment, a very well thought out judgment, invalidated not just the Russian, all the sort of memoranda of understanding between the bidders, Chinese, Russian, American, Japanese, and French. So that was the cue. The High Court was the cue for South Africa to revise and renew its assessment of its energy source priorities. One thing. Second, why did Mr. Ushakov seem not to know? So I rang up Rosatom, the Russian state enterprise which builds reactors, supplies South Africa with enriched nuclear fuel and so forth, and said, what's this, please? Does this mean that President Putin will be raising the reactor sale that was rejected at the end of the Zuma administration? To which Rosatom replied the following way. The spokesman said, that's not my special area of competence. Please call Rosatom International. He gave me telephone number, but that doesn't work this morning. Didn't work last night either. And two email addresses, which he misspelled, so we couldn't get through. We put the questions again, and basically they're not answering. It's indicative of the increasing secrecy on the part of Russian organizations, because it's another feature of the effect the American warfare is inflicting on Russia. But it's a sign that the presidential foreign affairs advisor wasn't properly briefed before his man went to Joburg. And that's troublesome.
That is very troublesome, but it also means we'll be watching quite closely along the sidelines of the summit for any news about further cooperation around nuclear. We're still waiting for our updated integrated resource plan so that we can have a roadmap or a sense of the energy policy direction that will be taken under President Ramaphosa. I know that the rumours are there is still interest in nuclear, but a scaled-down nuclear program, not the 9.6 gigawatts, perhaps something closer to around 2 to 3 gigawatts. Because
how many reactors would that be? Let's suppose it's two. Two reactors were the first proposal from Rosatom to South Africa. So if two reactors are a reasonable contribution to a well-thought-out revision of South Africa's energy supply needs going into the future, then Rosatom's still in the game. Then President Putin has every reason to ask President Ramaphosa, what's your review tell you? You want two reactors? Let's bid for two reactors. It's not a $50 billion deal. Mm. It's somewhere around two. It's affordable. And the question then becomes for South Africa, in a non-corrupt post-Zuma South African governance period, does the Russian offer merit equal attention to the Chinese, the French? Since when do people think the French aren't corrupt? For heaven's sake.
That was John Helmer, the longest continuously serving foreign correspondent in Russia until he was booted out several years ago, who now calls Melbourne his home. John, I believe, how is the weather down there?
I'm visiting Melbourne at the moment. It's winter in Australia. Probably not as dry as Joburg, so not as pleasant as Joburg.
Well, it is actually quite pleasant at the moment. We've had a bit of warm weather return. Thank you very much for your time, John. Let's cross now to Pusileto Peterson for the day's news wrap.